سيد المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. All thanks and praises are due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We glorify Allah, we worship only Allah. We claim, we proclaim with iman and yaqeen our kalima ashhadu nashhadu an la ilaha illallah, that all of us trust, we believe with absolute faith and conviction, with iman and yaqeen in the tawheed, in the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah is one, an absolute one, an indivisible one, and that one Allah that we believe, that we trust, and that we worship, that we prostrate to, that we seek from, that we applaud, that we praise, that we glorify, that one Allah is an all-powerful Allah, is an awesome Allah, is an all-knowing Allah. 99 attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that have been mentioned are absolutely perfect attributes. They cannot be improved upon, they cannot be bettered. No other creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because all are the creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Only Allah is in created. I repeat, everything is created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything else is a creation. They belong to the creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Only Allah is uncreated. No other beside one Allah is uncreated, unmade. That is our Allah that we worship, that we believe in. A perfect Allah, an all-powerful Allah, an all-knowing Allah, an all-wise Allah, an all-perfect Allah. And we also have been blessed, and we send darud and salam upon the finest, the greatest, the leader, the mercy unto all of mankind. This in the final stage of the existence of man on planet Earth. And we say that we laud, that we send greetings of peace and mercy upon Sayyidina wa Nabiyina Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who is the example, the model that we imitate, that we follow, that we copy, that we live according to. We imitate him, we copy him, we live according to his tenets and beliefs, according to his practices and his teachings and all his recommendations. The reason? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has instructed us, Ati'u Allah, Ati'u Rasul. We must obey Allah and we must follow the Rasul of Allah. Therein lies success and salvation for all of humanity, not for the Muslimin only, but for all of mankind. With these words of introduction, we claim, we proclaim with iman and yaqeen our absolute faith and belief in nashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa nashhadu anna muhammadur rasulullah sallam. Islam is not a complicated religion. Islam is a perfectly simple deen. Religion, yes, but it is a deen. One step more than religion. Religion can be a philosophy, religion can be a system, religion can be a sect, religion can be a dogma, religion can be a doctrine. But Islam is a deen, meaning it is a way of life, it is a code of conduct. It consists of manners and ways and teachings and practices. It is a complete faith. It is the life of a Muslim. It is the way he lives, he conducts himself. Islam, the deen, consists of every facet of human life. Every walk, every talk, every thought. Everything is included in the faith, in the deen of Islam. That is why we say it is a way. It is a way of living, of conducting oneself, of behaving. It has ethical moralities and it has all the teachings that are necessary, the practices that are necessary for living a successful life. No facet of the life of a human being has been excluded from the deen of Islam. So it encompasses every facet, every day and night of the life of a human being. So that is what Islam is. We have been studying, now we have performed Salatul Maghrib al-Jama'ah, and we have commenced with our lesson, which we do on Saturdays. I asked you a question some time ago. I haven't had any feedback, but I would like to know where lessons are conducted on Saturdays here in South Africa in the Western Cape. I look forward to feedback on that. But in the meantime, our lesson is Life After Death. And in Life After Death, we are busy now with that chapter that deals with that resurrection is a reality, that every human being, every Muslim must believe that there is going to be a resurrection. We have already said there is a life after death. But there will be a day when all of mankind will rise from their graves. Yes, even those who have disappeared in the jungles, in the forest, they've been eaten up by animals, they have decomposed in chemicals, they have burnt in fire and turned to ash. Whatever has happened to them, there is a grave for them somewhere. Even those who burnt into ashes, somewhere they are buried, somewhere they are buried. The ashes somewhere, whether they've been flung into the oceans, into the waters or in the air, it doesn't matter, into the jungles and fallen in 1,000 places or 10,000 places. It doesn't, it's irrelevant to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One hukum of Allah and the ashes will be brought together. One hukum of Allah and the ashes will become flesh, bones, and life will be put into it. No, I have said 3-4 hukums. With Allah it is one hukum, one command, and everything can be revived, resuscitated and resurrected. That is what we are doing in this chapter. We have done already, we've looked at the fact that there is a life after that. We've looked at the fact of what the kuffar and the mushrikeen had to say about the resurrection, when Sayyidina Nabi Muhammad Rasulullah sallam looked, O Arabs, O people of the world, O nations of the world, O mankind, those are the various addresses. The Arabs, the people of Rasulullah sallam are addressed directly, and their responses are given to us in the Quran Majid. Then the other Anbiyas, the rest of the prophets, what kind of responses they had from their communities, from their congregations, from their followers, from their people, from their particular nation, what kind of responses and feedback Quran tells us. And then we've had also the feedback, and I've given you those relevant ayat, verses of the Quran Majid, of the kind of rejection of the resurrection by the peoples, both of the past and also the peoples of the time and period of Sayyidina Nabina Muhammad Rasulullah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also deals and tells us about the people of the present time and the people of the future times. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, بَلْ أَكْثَرُهُمْ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. But the majority in mankind refuse, they reject, they don't know anything about the resurrection. You tell them about it, they look with blank eyes and they say, but how can such a thing be possible? What are you talking about? You Muslims, what are you talking about? How can the dead be raised? They have been erased. They have been eliminated. Now you come and tell us they will be raised again and put together again. How can this be? It's impossible, it cannot be done. Forget about it. Don't ask us to believe in things that are impossible. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that there will be such people also, atheists, agnostics, rejectors, this kind of people also. Our chapter at the moment tells us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, now do bear in mind how many verses, ayat of the Quran Majid already quoted for you, which is on the resurrection. We're doing life after death. In the previous lessons I conducted in 1981, I did not present so many verses of the Quran Majid on the resurrection. I present only 3 ayat of the Quran. Now I presented to you something like 30 different verses of the Quran Majid. So how many? And many more are coming. So I'm saying, the reason, it is very important. It is iman. It is belief of a Muslim. No, of entire mankind. All of mankind must believe that there is going to be a resurrection. Anyone in mankind who rejects, refuses, in the way it has been set out by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran Majid, what does he become? A non-believer, meaning a disbeliever, meaning a non-Muslim, meaning a person who has rejected the teaching, the aqaid, the belief of Islam, of a Muslim. Therefore, he's out of the pale of Islam, out of the family of Islam, out of the deen of Islam. So we have been looking, and last week you looked, what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say with regard to that person, the persons, the human beings, mankind, that must accept. We look again. And look how Allah presents the subject of the resurrection with dalail, with the proofs, with the signs. Allah says, O Muslimin, believe in the resurrection, in the ba's ba'd al-maut, that I am going to raise you again and I'm going to question you, and you will be in your full senses. The eyes you had in the dunya, you will have those eyes again. Don't think the eyes have died and finished and gone and buried forever and decayed and decomposed. No. If they start to turn, if your bones and your eyes and your ears and your muscles and your heart and your lungs and your kidneys have turned to dust, so what? Do you think it's impossible for me to resurrect them? Not important. Nothing is impossible to me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it very, very clear. But look at the way in which Allah sets out the arguments. That is what I wish you to follow. Because we learn a lot about the qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the power. And when a Muslim believes in the ultimate power, perfect power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he begins to understand and he becomes far-sighted. He gets a vision of Akhirah. And iman is built on having a vision of the Akhirah. Day and night he knows, I am answerable, I am accountable to my Allah, the Allah who made me and created me. All I got to do is look around and I will find the proof and the evidence, the witnesses that Allah can, that Allah does, that there is nothing impossible for Allah. Never use the word impossible for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, except for bad and ugly things, except for sins and wrongdoings. There we are out of bounds. But anything else that Allah... Now here it is, look. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran Majeed, we're doing the proofs and the witnesses, the evidence that there is going to be a resurrection. Look at the approach of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not a word in the Quran Majeed is wasted. Every word is pertinent. It is applicable. It is relevant. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran Majeed, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, alam tara. ألم تر أن الله سخر لكم ما في الأرض والفلك تجري في البحر بأمره ويمسك السماء أن تقع على الأرض إلا بإذنه إن الله بالناس لرؤوف رحيم وهو الذي أحياكم ثم يميتكم ثم يحييكم إن الإنسان لكفور لكل أمة جعلنا من سكنهم ناسكوه فلا ينازعنك في الأمر وادعوا إلى ربك إنك لعلى هدى مستقيم وإن جادلوك فقل الله أعلم بما تعملون الله يحكم بينكم يوم القيامة فيما كنتم فيه تختلفون صدق الله العظيم. Here Allah, in these verses of the Quran Majid, I have recited to you from Surah Hajj, Surah number 22, verses number 65, 66, 67 and 68, from Ayat number 65 to 68, Allah is laying the pattern, the foundation of what? Of the fundamental belief of a Muslim. Muslim, think carefully. Oh, Muslim, think carefully. This is how I'm going to resurrect you. Look at yourself, how I created you. Look at your environment, this earth, how I created this earth. Look how I've created all these facilities and convenience for you. Look, see and learn. And this is how I have done. Allah is proving the resurrection. But Allah is not simply saying, believe in the resurrection. Allah is saying, believe in the resurrection with reason and thought. Put sense into it. I've created you. I have given you that faculty that I have not given to any other of my creatures, of my creations. So use this box. Use what I've placed in your cranium, in your head. Use it. I have protected, I put bones around it. I have protected your skull so that this little brain box, which is soft tissue, that you can begin to use that and discern, distinguish, realize and recognize that which is in around you, so you can understand me better and you can appreciate. Then you can praise me and glorify. Don't praise me because you love me. Don't praise me because you do not understand me. Praise me because you see that I'm worthy of praise. Praise me because I am worthy of praise. Not because I simply commanded you, therefore praise me, which is also welcome, which is also good. But what I desire from you, O man, O human being, O man and woman, what I desire from you is that you praise me, you glorify me, you bow to me, you prostrate to me, and you worship me because you understand who I am. You understand me, that I'm your creator and maker. That is why the Sahaba Ikram, tears used to come into their ears, the Quran Majid, tears used to come into their eyes. The skin which covers the body used to come alive. When has your skin and my skin come alive? When has it begun to tingle? Sahaba say, in the Quran Allah says, the skins of the Sahaba Ikram, this covering, this envelope around the body of man, used to begin to tingle. Yes, sometimes with the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sometimes the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but main reason was because they realized and recognized and they saw that there is nothing worthy of worship, la ilaha illallah, but Allah. Nothing is worthy of worship. Not because Allah says, worship me. No, no. Not because of that. But because they recognized with mind, with thought, with application of the mental structure, intellect of man, that Allah is worthy of praise and Allah is worthy of worship, and only Allah. Says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, do you not see? Look how Allah starts. Alam tara, O man, do you not see? Do you not think? Do you not perceive? Do you not apply your mind? Look at the various, Quran will give you one translation. Alam tara, the word alam tara alone. Do you not think? Do you not see? Do you not distinguish? Do you not use your reason? I have given you eyes and ears, don't you use? Do you not use your eyes and your ears and the intellect that I have given you, your power of reasoning? Do you not use the faculties that I have given you to? Alam tara, look man, look, I created you. Alam tara, and then says Allah with emphasis, Anallah. Do you not see that Allah has subjected to you everything on this earth? Look around you, subhanallah. You want water? Go to the dam, go to the river, skip it, go to the well, just help yourself. The water won't refuse, water won't recede, water's not going to disappear. Allah says, don't you see how the water obeys you? You want to breathe? There you are, you breathe. Allahu Akbar. Look at the supply of air all around you. If I don't give you the air, you know you're going to die. So I provided sufficient air for you. Space, look at the space I provided for you. Sufficient space. From here to the sky, all the space is yours, O man. You can have it all, free of charge. Do you think, Alam tara, don't you see all this? Don't think this is empty space. No, the empty space has been made for you. Imagine if the sky was just above our heads. Allahu Akbar, O man. Allah could have done so, but Allah has not. Look at the mercy of Allah. So high is the sky. If you were to put a tape and measure it, you cannot reach the top. You can't touch the sky. Allah made it a reason. So you can, no matter how what amount of pollution in this universe, no matter what amount of pollution, we still survive. Pollution takes place, but Allah has made it that that smoke and the dense fog and all the dirt and grime and dirt like smoke, the fog, all of it rises. Who made it rise? Who put the wind there so it rises and goes away and doesn't penetrate through our eyes and through our nose? Allah. Now apply your mind and think about these things. Do not be a robot. Oh man, I didn't make you. Animals are robots. They only act and interact and respond in a particular way. But man, I created you to think. You have a reason. So think, why did I create space? Alam tara, look around you and see how beautifully I have made for your convenience, for your comfort. In the daytime, you work the whole day, you tired. When you get home, you finished. You have your meal, you finished even more after the meal. You feel the tiredness come, your eyes want to close, your ears don't want to hear anymore. All you want to do is relax. Allahu Akbar. If I did not give you the blessing of sleep, how would you go to work the next day if you couldn't, you're unable to sleep? Ask the people. There is a disease, there is a sickness where people can't sleep. Ask them how they suffer to sleep. Go to doctors and they get all kinds of drugs to be applied and given to them so that they can sleep. Sleeping tablets of all kinds and so forth and so on. I am saying to you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, alam tara anna Allaha sakhara lakum. I am taking some time because I want you to please understand. We need to think as Allah wants us to think. And Allah in the Quran teaches us to think. The mind of the Muslim must be structured and to think as Allah wants. Allah is our creator. So Allah says, think in the way the Quran, the way I am asking you to think. Now we don't get enough lessons on this. How Allah wants us to. Allah is our master, our owner. Of course our owner must tell us how we must think. And he tells us, Alam tara anna Allaha sakhara lakum. Oh man, do you not see how I have structured everything for your pleasure, for your convenience? Everything for your, don't misunderstand the word pleasure. Everything for your comfort, for your gain, to serve you. Don't you see everything? The air to breathe, the water to drink, the, look at the earth everywhere. You throw seeds into the ground. And with, oh, have you seen cabbages, cauliflowers growing, beetroot growing, carrots growing, all kinds of herbs growing? Who makes them? Look at the trees. Where would your furniture come from? Where would your shelving come from? Where would all this convenience come? Who made it? Where would you get furniture? You think plastic? You brag and you say, well, we don't need wood. We can make out of non-wood furniture, plastic and so on, metals and so on. You really think so? No. Had it not been for wood, what would man have done? And all your paper in the world, how many millions of tons of paper is manufactured? What would we have done? We wouldn't have been able to write. Subhanallah. How would we write if we had no paper? Where does all that paper come from? Allah says, everything in this dunya, who created? Now look around you. Alam tara anna Allaha sakhara lakum ma fil ardi wal fulka tajri fil bahri bi amrihi. Do you not see, O Muslim, O man, do you not see that Allah has subjected to you everything in this earth, including the ships that sail through the seas by Allah's command? Listen to the words. Allah says, do not think you, O man, you invented the ship and you invented the aeroplane and you invented cars and jets so you travel according to your power. What is your machinery and equipment, your aeroplanes and your ships? Useless, they can't sail. I put the ocean there. I put the rivers and the waters there. I created the roads and the pathways on this earth. I made it. Do you not see? No. You know what man says? Our craft, our intellect, we invented mechanisms and robots and radars. We invented the aeroplane and all of the equipment that goes into the aeroplane, all the navigation equipment in the ships and so on. Man says, and man boasts, and man says proudly, even arrogantly, forgets Allah, and he says, I made the ship, I made the car, I made the plane, I made. What have you made, O man, if Allah had not given you the ability to make? Muslim, you think a little deeper. You think a little further. They, the non-believers, the non-Muslims, say, I made, and they forget Allah and they become gods. So they invent and create their own gods. The kind of god which is a dead god. What is that? They worship idols. They take Jesus and they make a monument and a statue of Jesus or a photograph of Jesus and they hang it up and say, he's our God. So when they object, they say, no, he is God, but he's three in one God. He's a third part of God. But he has divinity in him, he's divine. He has powers. So they take a little symbol, a cement figure. They take a cement figure, they take a cast, they take a photograph. And what do? They worship it. Yes, look, why would they take a cast of Buddha or some of our Hindu gods and actually prostrate to it, worship it? Why would they do that? Because they believe that dead object, that dead lifeless figure or figurine, because they're male gods, female gods, all kinds of gods. What do they say? Allah, in various postures, they say, no, these are, you see, there is within this cast, this statue, this stone, there is life within. Subhanallah. Oh man, alam tara. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O Muslimin, do you not see that Allah has subjected to you everything on this earth, including the ships that sail through the seas by Allah's command? I said, Allah is teaching us, O Muslim, how to think. When you see that ship, you say, this ship is sailing by the will of Allah. O Muslim, when you get into your car, you say, this car is moving and going to its destination by the will of Allah. Whatever mode of transport, you always say, it is moving by the will of Allah. Bismillahi majriha wa mursaha, inna rabbi laghafurur rahim. O Allah, by your mercy, does it move by your command? You are the one that is actually making it move. Let's move further. And Allah holds back the sky from crashing to the earth. Allahu Akbar. From crashing to the earth without Allah's command. وَيُمْسِكُ السَّمَاءَ أَن تَقَعَ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِهِ. Have you seen any pillars holding up the sky? Have you seen anywhere? What is holding up the sky there? Why doesn't it simply come cracking down? The whole solar system is there in those skies. The whole solar system. Huge objects, huge. Look at the planets just rolling about and turning, revolving. How is it possible? All these movements. Look at one galaxy. Look at the weight of one. Look at the sun. Look at the power of the sun. Look at the weight of the sun. Look at the moon. Look at that. And see. Look at one. Some of the stars are bigger than the sun. Oh no. Millions of stars are bigger than the sun. How are they lying there? They're turning on their axis. How? Suspended. Nothing is holding them up. You will say the law of gravity is holding them. Okay, law of gravity. Well, who made the law of gravity? To hold it in position. Allah subhanahu. Muslim, this is how you must. O one who believes in the Quran, in the power of Allah, and worships Allah, think like this. How? Allah holds the sky in its position. Allah holds back the sky from crashing to the earth without His command. Undoubtedly, says Allah, Inna Allah bin nasi ra'ufur rahim. When you look around and you look at the heavens, you look at the earth, and you look at all the motions and the figures, you look at the entire transport system, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Allah is most forgiving and most merciful towards mankind. Why did Allah do all this? Because Allah is full of mercy. You want mercy? Seek it from Allah. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala moves closer to what? To the subject of resurrection. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَهُوَ الَّذِي أَحْيَاكُمْ. Allah created you. Allah gave you life. And then, ثُمَّ يُمِيتُكُمْ. Then Allah will cause you to die. summa yuhyikum. Then Allah gave you life, Allah will give you death, and then summa yuhyikum. Then Allah will give you life again. Muslim, look at this is how we think. Allah's word, wa huwa alladhi ahyaakum, birth, summa yumeetukum, death, summa yuhyikum, then after death back to life again. Innal insana lakafoor. Allah pronounces now, but you, O man, you know you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I know you, O man. You know who are you? Verily, man is most ungrateful. Because man is blind, he doesn't see all this. Muslim, you are not blind. You believe in Allah. So do you. You must not be ungrateful. All these services, these facilities, these faculties that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must teach you a lesson. What must he teach you? Make shukr of Allah. Alhamdulillah. All praise is due to Allah. Understand the power and the qudrat of Allah. Allah is now leading us to a very moot point, to a very important point. We have ordained ways of worship for every nation which they observe. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لِكُلِّ أُمَّةٍ جَعَلْنَا مَنْسَكَنْهُمْ نَاسِكُوهُ فَلَا يُنَازِعُنَّكَ فِي الْعَمَرِ وَدُعُوا إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ. It is Allah who gives you life, Allah who gives you death, after which Allah will grant you life again after death. Verily, man is most ungrateful. We have ordained ways of worship for every nation which they observe, so they should never argue with you in these matters, O my Rasul. When you teach something to mankind, they must never debate and argue with you. They must never reject it. They have no reason to, because what you receive, I have sent you as wahi, as revelation. So you call unto Allah, Muslimin, O my Rasul, you call unto Allah, worship Allah alone, for you are certain upon the guidance of the straight path. And if they continue to argue with you, then O my Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you tell them, فِيمَا كُنْتُمْ فِيهِ تَخْتَلِفُونَ. If they begin to argue with you, O my Prophet, then say, Allah knows best what you do. Allahu Akbar. فَقُلِ اللَّهُ أَعْلَمُ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ. Allahu Akbar. اللَّهُ يَحْكُمُ بَيْنَكُمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ فِيمَا كُنْتُمْ فِيهِ تَخْتَلِفُونَ. And remember, whatever you are arguing about on the day of judgment, Allah will decide. Allah is the final decision maker. You can have your arguments here and say there's going to be no resurrection. Allah says, but you are coming back to me, and then I will show you what this resurrection, your very presence on the day of Yawm al-Qiyamah will be your reply. You will understand that you are here in my presence on the day of Qiyamah because I have resurrected you. Where are you going to hide your face? Allahu Akbar. Surah Hajj, Surah number 22, verses number 65 to 68. This is how Allah approaches. Muslimin, this is the way. What is it? The most important verse for you and me here is, it is Allah who gives you life, it is Allah who gives you death, after which Allah will give you life again. Allah is going to resurrect you temporarily in the qabr. You will get life, but you will actually arise physically. Your physical embodiment, you are going to arise from. You see, in the qabr, it is not like in the resurrection. In resurrection, you're going to. In the qabr, you're not coming out of the qabr. You remain in the qabr. But a time will come when the trumpet will blow, and you could. The qabr, every qabr is going to crack open, it's going to split open on its own, by the command of Allah. And you will arise, it will be cleared of water. Oh, there can be mountains on top of your grave. That whole mountain will completely break up, and you will arise from your grave, even if you've been buried under tons of sand. Doesn't matter. You will arise no matter what is above you. Countless are the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala throughout the universe, pointing out the qudrat and absolute power and will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, such as some mentioned in the above verses. Everything in the universe, without exception, is subject to the divine will and command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How we have Everything is under submission, subjection to the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Are men so blind that they fail to see this? What control do men have over the oceans and the rivers of the world? Traveling in the sea, I went to Cape Town, I went to the harbor. MashaAllah, my family, my friends are leaving, they're going to Europe by sea in a wonderful ship. The ship is equipped with every kind of navigation, modern ship, excellent, looks like a 5-star hotel on the inside. They stand on the deck, they greet us. They are going, thousands of people have come to say, give them a send off. They are leaving, they're going. The sea is calm. What is the weather forecast? Calm seas. The journey is expected to be an excellent one. Within 3 days, or 7 days, or 10 days, they will sail and they will arrive at Hamburg or whichever airport, whichever harbor in Europe. They're going to go sail safely, or they will visit many, many harbors. They're on tour. So we greet them and they depart. They sail for 1 day, 2 days, 3 days, and somewhere, Indian Ocean, Atlantic Ocean, whichever ocean, it doesn't matter. Suddenly, the wind rises, clouds gather, storm begins, there's turbulence, the sea becomes rough. The ship, huge ship, tanker, it begins to shake in the water. You know how it shakes? Like a little toy. The waters in the oceans are deep, and when the storm starts and it brews, Allahu Akbar, the whole ship shakes, it rocks in the water. People go, everything begins to fall, everything begins to crack and break. That ship simply moves from one side to other, up to 20 degree, 30 degree, 45 degree angles. It's shaking like rocking on the waters of the oceans. And if Allah so wishes and commands, it turns upside down, or it sinks, opens up, and it sinks deep into the ocean. Some may be saved, some may be killed, may die of drowning. All may drown in, so much so that there are ships that have disappeared and never found. Where did it disappear? Never found. Some ships that disappeared 1,000 years ago, 500 years ago, 200 years ago, you'd be reading in the papers, have now been found. The wrecks have only, shipwrecks have only now been found. We've had around Cape Town many ships that have floundered and disappeared in the waters around the Cape. I am saying to you, who decides? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, here it is. Allahu Akbar. Are men so blind that they fail to see the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Allah is showing us. Well, how did the tsunami happen? If those people that went there, or the hundreds of families that went there on holiday, if they had known there was going to be a tsunami, science and technology advanced. Why did our science and our technology not warn the people that at a certain time, on a certain day, there was going to be a tsunami there on the Indian Ocean belt? Why weren't they warned? Yet man is not going to admit that he doesn't have that foresight, that he doesn't have that kind of technology to warn people before time. Why were they not warned? If man is so brilliant, such a genius, why were the people not warned that there's an oncoming calamity, disaster coming? So people, keep away from here, don't come here, because the tsunami is going to come here certain time, certain hour, certain day, because we don't know. But man is not prepared to accept his shortcomings, his lack of knowledge. And he's not prepared to accept the power and authority of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he's not prepared to submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They have no idea when they sail out that they will have a safe journey. There may be a sudden storm or a hurricane. They have no idea. The sky above may open up with heavy downpours accompanied with lightning and thunder. Man doesn't know when and how and to what extent it will take place. The earth below us may slip or even slide away. We're living in a house. How many houses is that? And the earth slides away, slips away, goes away, disappears, and the whole house finished. Everything is gone, broken into pieces. How often it has happened? With mansions it has happened. Who is in charge? Is man in charge? Why does man not want to admit there is a higher authority in charge? The earth below us may slip or slide away. It may disappear. It is the infinite mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that controls and commands all things. But most men remain adamantly neglectful and arrogant and refuse to accept the signs of the qudrat and the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala says that life and death is also completely in the power and in the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now we're coming to Allah gives these signs. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O man, are you prepared to accept that all power belongs to me? And I'm the all powerful, I'm the all knowing. You don't know when a calamity and disaster is going to strike. But Allah says, I know, I know. So worship me, and Allah ta'ala will cause men to be resurrected after death. Allah says so. وَهُوَ الَّذِي أَحْيَاكُمْ ثُمَّ يُمِيتُكُمْ ثُمَّ يُحْيِيكُمْ. I will bring you back to life after you have died. Men, however, choose to reject the resurrection because it does not suit them to accept it. They do not want to believe that there is a life after death. Even after seeing the signs of the absolute will and power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is advised in these verses by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to go on calling and preaching people to the straight path of Islam and to leave the deniers and false worships to the false worshippers, the idolatrous people, the mushrikeen, the kafirin, to their own devices. For Allah Ta'ala is well aware of their rejection of the Tawheed, the Risalat, and the Akhirat, and will deal with them on the day of Qiyamah, on the day of Judgment. The strong and powerful message of Islam and all the messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressed here, and that all of mankind worship the creator and sustainer of the worlds in its entirety, one almighty, omnipotent and omniscient Allah, the only all-merciful, all-knowing and all-wise Allah. La ilaha illallah. Only then have you, O mankind, and only then have you served the purpose for which Allah has created you. Life, death and the resurrection are all dependent upon true belief and piety. Otherwise, all for man is lost, and the payment for failure, after all the favors and blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, are so severe that the punishment of the grave and the punishment of hell are eternal. Oh, once you die and you put into that grave and your family go away from there, the azab of Allah begins. The azab of which we are still going to do, the azab of the qabr commences and carries on until the day of resurrection. And when we are resurrected, the azab continues. And then when those people are cast into the burning fires and the punishment of Jahannam, that punishment continues and continues eternally. So rise to the truth of Tawheed and the Qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala while you are alive in the worldly life, or pay dearly for your disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam while you are alive in this worldly life, or pay dearly for your disobedience, your blindness and your rebellion in the everlasting life to come. Next ayat coming up is the following, says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Again, we are going to do, look at this approach of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, look at this teaching, instruction, command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَكَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ مِنْ سُلَالَةٍ مِنْ تِينٍ ثُمَّ جَعَلْنَاهُ نُطَفَةً فِي قَرَارٍ مَكِينٍ ثُمَّ خَلَقْنَا النُّطَفَةَ عَلَقَةً فخلقنا العلقة مزغة فخلقنا المزغة عظاما فكسونا العظام لحما ثم أنشأناه خلقا آخر فتبارك الله أحسن الخالقين ثم إنكم بعد ذلك لميتون ثم إنكم يوم القيامة تبعثون. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the speech is the speech of Allah. The kalam is the kalam of Allah. We have certainly created man from an extract of clay. Now Allah says, resurrection is going to be proven here. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, look at yourself, O man. What are you come? Where do you come from? You only a piece of, not flesh. Where does the flesh come from? Earth. Dust. I made you from dust, earth, sand, clay. You are a mixture. When you die, look at when you die. You rot, you decay, you go back into the earth. You turn into sand. Because you come from sand. Allah says, now think, O Muslim. We have certainly yaqeen. وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا وَلَقَدْ Most certainly, undoubtedly. Oh, definite, positively. وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ مِنْ سُلَالَةٍ مِنْ تِينٍ Oh man, oh Muslim, we have created you. We have created man, human beings from an extract of clay. Then we placed you in a safe depository as a drop of sperm. Where? In the womb of the mother. What were you in the womb of the mother? Were you a human being? You were not a human being. From sand, Allahu Akbar. You were deposited into where? As a liquid into the womb of your mother. Look at the words of Allah. Look at the purity of the language of Allah, the speech of Allah. Subhanallah. Then we placed you in a safe deposit. Subhanallah. A womb of the mother. Allahu Akbar. Can you understand how well the womb of the mother is protected? How you think this is? Qudrat of Allah. You grow in there, your birth is in there, 9 months you spend in there, protected by who? Allahu Akbar. It is incredible. That's why they say birth is a miracle. Of course it's a miracle. Can a human being do it? Allahu Akbar. Then we placed you in a safe depository as a drop of sperm. Thereafter, that drop of sperm, we made the drop of sperm into a clot of blood. That liquid it was, dirty liquid, repulsive, najis, go and bath, go and have ghusl, clean yourself. Look where you come from, O man. Deposited, and then from that little sperm, Allah says, I turn it into blood. Allah is explaining a point here. From that drop of sperm, I make it into a clot of blood. Then that clot of blood I make into a lump of flesh. Then that lump of flesh, I turn it into bones. Flesh into bones, subhanAllah. After which, we take that bones, we dress the bones in flesh. Who dresses the bones in flesh? We dress those bones in flesh. Allah says, then after this, we put the soul into the fetus and develop you into another creation, into a human being. Then we take you and we take that fetus, that lump of flesh, in other words. That's called the fetus. The fetus from which a human being is going to come. And then I start making in there all your features. Allah decides how you're going to look, how you're going to appear, what your color is going to be, what the color of your eyes is going to be, how your nose is going to look, how your forehead, how your hair, how your face, facial structure is going to be, how your neck, how your shoulders, how your head, how your breast, how your heart, how your stomach, how your body, how your legs, everything. Who decides, says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then after this, we put the soul into that fetus. We breathe the ruh into that. What is the flesh? What use is the flesh? No use. We put life into. Who puts life? Man, you take an injection and you put life into that fetus? You. If not, then who? No, man doesn't think. Where did life come into that fetus? Into that lump of flesh? Who put life? First of all, liquid. Subhanallah. Sand, earth into liquid sperm. And then, Allahu Akbar. Then from the drop of sperm, clot of blood. Then the clot of blood into a lump of flesh. Then we dress. Then the flesh into bones. Flesh into bones. Then we dress the bones in flesh. Then after this we put the soul into the fetus and develop you into another creation. Then you turn, I make you into a human being. And I develop all the features of a human being within you. I put the heart in place. Or first I put all around you. And the brain box. And the eyes. I'm making, I'm creating you. I'm planning you. I'm designing you. The malaikas carry out the task. All this. Who does all that? The pattern, the structure, the design. Subhanallah. And then I develop you into another creation, into a human creation. So blessed is Allah. Here is the word. Subhanallah. Summa ansha'nahu khalqan akhara. Fatabarakallahu ahsanul khaliqin. Blessed is Allah, the best of creators. Then after that, now Allah is coming to the point. Subhanallah. Summa innakum ba'da zalika lamayyitun. After I created you, you live your life on this earth, this earthly life, this worldly life. What comes then? Then after that, you will all surely die in this. You work hard, you buy properties, you buy this, you buy clothing, all the needs, you raise your family, you marry, you have a family. Look at the life you buy, you make it comfortable, you have a roof over your head, so whatever you can afford, that's the kind of provision you make for them. You buy food what you can afford, you put everything in that, you work hard for your family to provide for them, you work hard to earn money, but eventually what? What is the final? You're going to die. And then you die, says Allah. And then Allah makes a summa innakum yawmal qiyamati tub'asun. Thereafter you will surely be resurrected on the day of Qiyamah, on the day of judgment. I will raise you again. I will put back life into you. I will give you life again. Here comes the resurrection. All this Allah has been saying. Do you believe that there is accountability in the hereafter, that I will resurrect you, I will make you again, I'll put back after you have died? You and I know that from the moment of death, a pattern of life emerges. Alam-e barzakh, life of the grave. And then alam-e akhirah. And then of course, the life until the yawmul ba'ath, until the, so the hereafter, that we will do all that. But Allah speaks of only the akhirah, that you will be given back and brought back to life on the day of judgment. Surah Mu'minun, surah number 23, ayat number 12 to 16, after reminding us of our origins and the miraculous way we have been created and granted life by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are again reminded by Allah ta'ala that the end is certainly not with death, but that after death and burial, there is an intermediary phase of life in the grave, whereafter all of mankind shall arise again on the day of resurrection, which will be followed by reckoning on the day of judgment. These are the phases of human life: the earthly phase, the grave phase, and then the resurrection, after which the day of judgment, Qiyamah, men will be adjudged by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as to the eternity in heaven or in hell. The connection of creation of mankind to the fact and truth of resurrection has been mentioned in several ayat of the Quran Majid to impress upon us Muslimin that the might, the power, the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that has made creation of the universe and all its contents, including unique human beings, can also resurrect and reinstall human beings according to the divine decree and will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This and similar verses impacted on the people of Arabia when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam began preaching this slowly in the beginning. Remember, they were all mushrikeen. Mushrikeen and Kafirin, people who worship gods and idols, many gods and many idols, thousands of gods and thousands of idols. Stars were worshipped, sun, moon was worshipped, earth was worshipped, trees were worshipped, jungles were worshipped, animals were worshipped, caves were worshipped, mountains were worshipped. And slowly the words of the Quran began to penetrate into the peoples of Arabia, and they turned to Islam as the facts of the Quran, the kalam of the Quran, began to sink into their minds. They began to reason, they began to ponder, they began to reflect, and they used to have discussions. And so the deen spread. And then from here, when Europe began to hear, when Asia began to hear the words of the Quran, wherever the Sahabas went, they reciting the Quran. They reciting the Quran. People did not understand, but the impact, Allah made it possible that the impact of the words and the vitality and the energy coming out of the Quran, the nur coming out, the people were not blind, they could see. From the faces of the Sahaba, the actions of the Sahaba. When the Sahabas went into Africa, when the Sahabas went into Asia, when the Sahabas went into Europe, the people saw the mode of prayer. No idol. They wandered wherever the Sahabas went. Africa, in the African jungles, because it was jungle. Whether they went to Egypt, or whether they went into East Africa, or whether into West Africa, down North Africa. Oh, East Africa, wherever the Sahaba Ikram went, in Europe, in Africa, in Asia, the people looked. When they went to the Indian subcontinent, the people of the East looked. They said, these people, what are they doing? Bowing, well, what are they bowing to? And they would go and look. What are they bowing to? No idols, no gods, no stones, no castes, nothing. What are they bowing to? And they began to question. Look how Islam spread. They began to question, what kind of God are these people worshipping? They wanted to know. In Africa, the people came together. They said, oh, we know what they're worshipping. They're worshipping spirits. Because in Africa, there was the worship of spirits, ancestral spirits. So they said, well, the Arabs are worshipping their ancestral spirits. Afterwards, they communicated, they asked the Sahabas, because Sahabas were coming there, Tabin and Tabi Tabin were coming there to trade. They were traders. They used to bring their goods to sell in Africa, in Asia, in Europe. So they knew them. They were friends with them. So now, Umar radiallahu ta'ala had many friends. Usman radiallahu ta'ala, before Islam, had many, many friends because they were traders. And so they went and they looked and they asked, but when you worship, are you worshiping your ancestors? Your heroes that have died? Sahaba said, La, no. We worship Allah. And they pointed out, we worship one Allah. They said, well, you don't see your God? No, we don't see them. Our God is an unseen God. We believe in... These inquiries would not have... Had they seen a statue there, they would not have inquired. They inquired because they saw nothing. So they said, you must be worshipping spirits. They said, no, we don't worship spirits. We are worshipping Allah. Allah, Rabb. Allah is our Rabb. They understood the word Rabb. And so the deen spread. They said, you worship, but you worship them? And they saw the change in the Sahaba. They knew the Sahabas before Islam. They knew the Sahabas after Islam. They saw the change in the life of the Sahaba. They saw the softness. They saw the calmness. They saw the peace. They saw the energy. They saw the power. They also saw the radiating influence, the nur coming out of the Sahabas. They saw the wudu. They were fascinated by it. They said, you know, Moses and Jesus, our prophets used to do this. Our prophets used to do this. What? They used to make ablution before they go to pray. So you Muslims are on the right track. You also go and wash yourself. Our prophets used to do that. Our prophet Abraham, the Arab, said he used to make wuzu, he used to make ablution. And Moses and Jesus used to make wuzu. And he came. They went back to their roots and they knew. Not immediately, but with a lot of thinking and lot of reason, eventually they accepted Islam. And what Muslims they became. SubhanAllah. Today we have this. I had a report today that all over Europe and all over America, all over the first world, the biggest enemies of Islam at the moment, under their noses, they are intellectuals, they are thinking people, are turning to Islam. They are frustrated with their Christianity has nothing to offer. I say it to all my Christian brothers and sisters, Christianity has never had over the last 2,000 years, nothing to offer you. Ever since the religion was turned into trinitized, turned into a trinity, and the worship of three gods instead of one God, what is left of religion? What is left of the teachings of Nabi Isa, Jesus, alayhi salatu? What is left of the teachings of Nabi Musa, alayhi salam? Nothing is left. Everything has been distorted and corrupted, and everything has been perverted. Your books have been perverted. Quran is still pure. Look at the Quran, study at the Quran, and you will see what a wonderful deen the deen of Islam is. And that is how people turn through the Sahaba. They couldn't even speak the African languages. They couldn't even speak the European languages. They couldn't even speak the Asian languages. There were some of the traders who knew a little bit of the local dialects. And that is how the deen spread. And how it spread. Allahu Akbar, nation after nation, country after country, not with the force of the sword. Our enemies try to say the Muslims forced them. Muslims never forced anybody. People willingly. And let me tell you, today, the millions of non-Muslims that are accepting Islam, you tell me who is, they're calling us Muslims terrorists. And who is turning to Islam? If we are terrorists, why are millions of non-Muslims turning to Islam and accept and becoming wonderful Muslims, practicing Muslims? Who? They should be afraid of us, and yet they're turning to Islam. Allah works in wonderful ways we can never understand. Let's take another ayat to end of tonight's lesson. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Qala afaraytum ma kuntum ta'budun antum wa aba'ukumul aqdamun فَإِنَّهُمْ أَدُوُّ لِي إِلَّا رَبَّ الْعَالَمِينَ الَّذِي خَلَقَنِي فَهُوَ يَهْدِينِ وَالَّذِي هُوَ يُطْعِمُنِي وَيَسْقِينِ وَإِذَا مَرِضْتُ فَهُوَ يَشْفِينِ وَالَّذِي يُمِيتُنِي ثُمَّ يُحْيِينِ وَالَّذِي أَطْمَعُ أَنْ يَغْفِرَ لِي خَطِيئَتِي يَوْمَ الدِّينِ. الله سبحانه وتعالى says, نبي إبراهيم عليه السلام said to his people, one of the great prophets and preachers of Islam, Sayyidina Ibrahim, Nabiyina, Khalilullah, alayhi salatu wassalam. Allah says, you know Ibrahim, I'm going to tell you about Nabi Ibrahim, says Allah, my beloved, my friend, Khalilullah Ibrahim, I'm going to tell you how he preached. Nabi Ibrahim said, what do you see, O people, what do you see, what do you think of the idols which you have been worshipping? أَفَرَأَيْتُمْ مَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْبُدُونَ. You worshipping all these idols. My people, I'm asking you. He stood in the market, busy market. He stood there. And as the people were going to work, he went and sat down there. He stood there. He called them together. A couple of people said, who is this Ibrahim? He was a very tall man. Handsome man he was. People were attracted to him. This by the qudrat of Allah. And they went to hear to him. Early in the morning when people are going to work, Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam has begun to give his da'wat. He's asking, yeah, his words, أَفَرَأَيْتُمْ مَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْبُدُونَ. Oh people, tell me, why are you worshipping idols? أَنْتُمْ وَآبَاؤُكُمُ الْأَقْدَمُونَ. You and your forefathers, you are idolatrous peoples, you are idolaters, you are mushrikeen. The idols are all my enemies. Openly he tells them, he says, these idols that you worship, they're all my enemies. Yes. فَإِنَّهُمْ أَدُوُّ لِي إِلَّا رَبَّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Idols are my enemies. They have no sense, they have no life, they're dead man, stones. What is wrong with you people? You worshipping stones, stone gods, stone idols. You worshipping, no life in them. Why? They are my enemies, man. I don't like them. What a brave What a brave. Look at the courage of Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. All your gods are my enemies, your idols are my enemies, except Allah. Allah is the Rabb of the universe, the sustainer of the universe. The Allah who has created me. O people, the Allah who created me and the Allah who guides me. If you want and accept Allah as your creator and Allah as your guide, then worship Allah. Leave your stone gods. The Allah who gives me food, the Allah who gives me drink, and the Allah who cures me when I am ill. The Allah who will grant me death, and the Allah who will bring me back to life again. And he said it. Look how Allah is. Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam preached to them and he told his people, the Allah who will resurrect me, after I've died, Allah will bring me back to life. Allahu Akbar. The Allah who I hope will forgive me my faults on the day of judgment. I'm a Nabi, I'm a Rasul, but even I may have some faults, I may have some shortcomings, I may have some weaknesses, which he did not. He's innocent. But he is teacher. He's a teacher of human beings, a teacher of mankind. And he's saying, this is how you ask for maaf. This is how you make istighfar. This is how you seek the mercy and forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ala afara'aytum ma kuntum ta'budun antum wa aba'ukumul aqdamun fa innahum aduwwun li illa rabbal alamin. And people used to move. When he used to tell them, your idols, your gods are my enemies, people used to move to hurt him, to punish him. And the malaikas used to protect Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. Such is the protection of Allah. Jibreel alayhi salam was there. Ibrahim alayhi salam was a fearless preacher, a fearless prophet. He used to tell them straight. And Allah had given him so much power. Yeah, courage, brave man. He was not afraid of them. He said, you know the gods that you worship? Useless, dead stones. What are you people preaching? And you know what happened afterwards, the day they were on holiday and they left their church and they went away from their temple to go and enjoy themselves. What did he do? He took an axe and he chopped off all and he broke all their idols, lifeless idols. Anyway, here it is. And how beautiful in Alladhi khalakani fa huwa yahdeen walladhi huwa yut'imuni wa yasqeen. Allah gives me food, Allah gives me water, wa iza maridatu fa huwa yashfeen. When we are sick, Allah restores and gives us health again. Walladhi yumituni summa yuhyeen. And then Allah will cause me to die, and after that Allah will give me life. Yeah, Nabi Ibrahim is not saying, I live and then I die. No, no, he's saying, there it is. Allahu Akbar. Walladhi yumituni, I will die, and then summa yuhyin, and after that, Allah will raise me and bring me to life again. Walladhi atma'u an yaghfira li, and Allah is the one we should seek forgiveness of, khati'ati, and for all our weaknesses, our sins, our wrongdoings, we must seek mercy, protection, forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and ask for the mercy, seek the mercy of Allah, yawm ad-deen, that Allah protect us on the day of judgment. Surah Shu'ara, Surah number 26, verses number 75 to 82. Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam was one of the great preachers of Tawheed to a nation absorbed in the worship and the cult of idolatry. Single-handed and fearlessly he tackled the issues of idolatry and shamed the people with his projections and proofs in support of the Tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the above verses, he presents some of the proofs of Tawheed of the creator and sustainer of the worlds and asks his people, what proofs do they have to worship idols and images? By worshipping one all-powerful Allah, there is life and there is living. There is guidance and there is direction. There is present and there is future. But what do the idols provide? All men are going to die. Then they will be raised to life again at the resurrection. And then there will definitely be accountability in the hereafter. What hope do the idolatrous people have in the mercy of one almighty, all-forgiving Allah? He has hope, and so will all those who accept the worship, devotion, and reverence of one Allah. The powerful preaching of Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam had very little impact and effect on his people, on his nation, and he prayed that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala create in his progeny a successor that will continue and succeed in establishing the tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that dua of Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam materialized in the birth, the life, and in the risalat of Sayyidina wa Nabina Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam through his son Nabi Ismail alayhi salatu wa sallam. The above ayat thus establishes the resurrection as a fact of belief of every Muslim. We will end off there, inshallah, brothers. Make dua. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must grant you and me, all of us that are seated here, who come to these lessons on life after death, that Allah must make us open our eyes, that we begin also to think as Muslimin. We do not look at nature, we do not look at our environment with closed eyes, with no thought. We need to think. Every blade of grass, every leaf on every tree, every flower, we need to think. And what do we say? We say, Allah is the creator. And once we begin there, then we have a reason to believe and worship one Allah. We must see the qudrat and the beauty and the power of Allah subhanahu in everything. When we look at the sama into the heavens, we say, oh Allah, why doesn't this come crashing down onto the earth? Oh Allah, it is your power. If it is the law of gravity, you are the creator of that gravitational laws that hold it there. So Allah, you are holding it. It's your qudrat. Everywhere see the qudrat and the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Become thinking, reasoning Muslimin. Do not become blind, silent Muslimin. Only then can we escape the network of being imprisoned by a robotic way of life, where the kuffar and mushrikeen teach us, train us to be unthinking human beings, totally unthinking, do and jump at their beck and call. That's what they want, through the advertising media, through the print media, through the visual media. All they want to do is they want to make every human being to be at the beck and call of their master's voice. We must serve the kuffar and mushrikeen. Be unthinking people, unreasoning people. Just be people who pay your taxes and live. You pay your taxes and you pay your dues and so on and live like them. You take your loans from them, everything from them, and live as they want. They monitor us and want us to live as unthinking human beings, or as thinking according to their kuffar ways and kuffar habits and kuffar life and kuffar culture. That is not the way we Muslims are. We see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in every word and every act and every deed that we do. When we begin consciously, with visibility, with the aid of our eyes and with the aid of our ears, to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to hear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all around us, when every morning, every evening, when every minute, every second is where we see Allah and we hear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will say how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will elevate and exalt us, and quickly it will come, and the transformation and thought, where we become people who become living, conscientious Muslimin. Once that comes into, you will grow into a wonderful human being. And that is where you exalt and you rise above the angels of Allah. Angels do not have the capacity. Angels do not have the capacity to think and reason like we human beings have. But do we reason and think? No. No, we do only whatever they tell us. No, that is not the way. Listen to the Quran. Reason along the lines of the Quran. I'm giving you all these verses with a reason as we proceed into the ahadith, sayings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam on life after death, which will follow maybe next week, maybe the week after. But we are going, as soon as we finish the verses of the Quran Majid on life after death, we're going to start with the ahadith, and then we're also going to do examples, stories from the life of sahabas, tabi'in, 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 awliya Allah, of their experiences of life in the qabr. Inshallah. May Allah accept. Jazakumullah. Wa akhiru da'wana. Anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.